Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. We're going to be reading from chapter 1 of Galatians, chapter 1, starting with verse 1 and reading through verse 12. And it is found on page 1012 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Paul, an apostle not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let them be accursed. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus the Christ. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I think it's fair to say in our text this morning that the Apostle Paul, as he writes to this Christian community in Galatia, is mad. In fact, he's downright angry. You can hear it in his correspondence. It comes through. I am astonished, Paul says, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Paul, of course, is talking to the little Christian community in Galatia. It is a church that Paul had founded. He had started it there while he was on his missionary journeys, and for some reason, Paul came to them during a moment of personal affliction. But as he was there, he had preached to them, and he had founded the little Christian community at Galatia. Paul had planted it, he watered it, he watched the first tender shoots of faith spring forth in the rough and fertile land of this Gentile people. But no sooner had Paul left than someone came behind him and started uprooting everything that Paul had done. He started preaching another gospel, a different gospel than the one that Paul had preached. The word gospel simply means good news or good tidings. But someone believed that Paul's gospel wasn't quite good enough. So they came to Galatia and they started preaching. And when Paul got word that they were preaching something contrary to what he had been preaching, Paul was livid. He's angry. And he literally curses. If anyone comes to you, he tells the Galatians, preaching a gospel other than the ones that I preach to you, let them be accursed. They're strong words. And when Paul starts cursing, we need to pay attention. The gospel that Paul had proclaimed, of course, was quite simple. It was the gospel of God's self-giving love, manifested in the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the gospel of God's unmerited grace poured out for the whole world. God's grace poured out on everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what the gospel of John tells us. And that's what grace is. It is a gift, an unmerited gift that is given freely, poured out on all. And Paul himself had been a recipient of that grace, a recipient of that gift. Paul had met the resurrected Lord not while he was in a church setting, but Paul met the resurrected Lord while he was on his way to persecute Christians. Paul hated Christians. He hated this new faith that was called the way, and so Paul persecuted them. But as Paul was going to persecute Christians to Damascus, he met the resurrected Lord, and it changed Paul. It shook him up. It turned his world upside down. And it was in that moment that Paul came to see that in the life and the death and the resurrection of this Jesus that he had been persecuting, that the new age had begun. The new age of God's love and grace and mercy had already begun. And it was not just for Paul, Paul came to realize, and it was not just for Jews, but it was for the whole world. And so Paul took that good news, that gospel, to the whole world, to places like Ephesus, to places like Corinth, and to places like Galatia. He took that good news of God's grace and mercy for everyone, that God loves everyone, that God is calling everyone. God's mercy and grace and love. Paul wanted him to know that God's new reality had begun. But now someone has come behind Paul and has started to proclaim another gospel. It's not terribly difficult to find out what this alternative gospel that was being proclaimed was all about. Apparently, missionaries, Jewish Christian missionaries, had gone to Galatia, and they had begun to tell the people there that Paul had it all wrong, that Paul was not telling them the truth, that Paul was simply giving them a version of the gospel that was designed to please them and make it easy. If they really wanted to be God's people, if they really wanted to be saved, these missionaries told them, then it was important that they become Jews. It was important that they become circumcised and that they adhered to the food laws and that they watch what they ate and watch who they associated with and who they ate with. Jesus, they said, after all, was the Jewish Messiah. And in order to become the people of God, you got to become a Jew. And you got to maintain the boundaries of what it means to be a good Jew. Have to maintain the purity and maintain the Jewish laws and make sure that you are being a good Jew. And when Paul hears it, when Paul hears what is going on after he has left, Paul is angry. And Paul writes back the correspondence that we read from this morning. And so angry is Paul that he doesn't even include his section of thanksgiving that Paul usually includes in his letters. He skips the section of thanksgiving altogether. And he begins simply by saying, I'm astonished. I'm astonished, Galatians. I'm astonished at you that you have turned away from the gospel. Paul tells the Galatians that the gospel that is being preached and proclaimed among them is a different gospel. It's a perverted gospel. It's not a gospel at all. It's not good news at all. All of the markers and boundaries and distinctions that these missionaries are trying to impose are all part of the old age, the old world. And Paul wants the Galatians to know that in Christ there is no longer any distinctions. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. That's what Paul will say a little later on in his letter to the Galatians. The only thing that matters is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, the love of God has made everyone one. There's no need to become a Jew, no need to become circumcised, no need to watch who you eat with, no need to watch who you associate with. The important thing is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the resurrected Lord. Paul wanted the Galatians to know that Jesus is Lord. This resurrected Jesus is indeed Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, then all the other lords that often govern our lives, that we give our lives over to, lords such as ethnicity, such as money, such as race, such as gender, all of those other lords no longer have any power over our lives. We are all one. We all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that Paul wants this little community in Galatia to remember. Paul eventually won the day, of course, on that, but we all know how easy it is to pervert the gospel. We know that because today there are all kinds of gospels, all kinds of perverted understandings of what the gospel is all about. There's the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel that says that the good news is that God wants to make all of us rich if only we sow the right kind of seed. Many of us Presbyterians may laugh at that, but we have our own version of the prosperity gospel. The belief that those who have money and wealth and success are indeed blessed by God. It's a prosperity gospel, and it's strong in our society, but it is a false gospel. There's the consumer gospel out there, the gospel that says that God's primarily is concerned about looking after our needs and providing for our needs. And so we spend a great deal of time searching for those churches and places that will best supply our needs, as if the Christian life was all about us and all about our needs. It's a false gospel, a perverted gospel. There is what's called the social gospel, the gospel that believes that if we just apply the right kind of economic and educational prescriptions, that we can bring about heaven on earth. It's all up to us. But it's a false gospel, an alternative gospel. All of those gospels are gospels that are human derived. But Paul wants the Galatians to know that his gospel comes directly from the Lord himself. It is the gospel that has been given to him by Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, the gospel of God's love and grace for the whole world. That's Paul's gospel. But as usual, someone has gone behind Paul all these years later and has been preaching a different gospel. In a few days, the Presbyterian Church USA, our denomination, will be holding its 222nd General Assembly in Portland, Oregon. And one of the items of business to be taken up will be the receiving of a new confession to our Presbyterian Church's Book of Confession. Many of you know that we Presbyterians have a Book of Confessions. We are a confessional church. And a confession is a statement at a particular time in history stating what it is that we believe as Christians in the Presbyterian Church. And one of the oldest confessions in our Book of Confessions is one that we recite every first Sunday when we say together the Apostles' Creed. We say what it is we believe. We believe in God the Father Almighty. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the oneness of the church. We believe those things. That's what a confession is all about. One of the other confessions in our Book of Confessions is the Bormann Declaration. It was a confession written during the 1930s in Germany at a time when German Christians, the German church, began to promulgate an alternative gospel, a false gospel, a gospel that put its faith and trust in blood and war and racism. And the Bormann Declaration came and said, no, that is a false gospel. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the love of God. We believe in God's grace for everyone. But in a few days, our Presbyterian church will be receiving another confession. It is called the Belhar Confession. And the confession does not come out of the United States, but it comes out of South Africa. It was written in 1982 by the Dutch Reformed Mission Church, which was the black branch of the Dutch Reformed Church of South Africa. And it was written during a time when the population of South Africa, the country of South Africa, including the church, were deeply enmeshed in a racial ideology which failed to confer human dignity to a large part of its population, where even the church itself believed that some people were inferior and some people were superior. And so the Dutch Reformed Mission Church crafted a confession saying that the spiritual life, this church in South Africa, was promoting a false gospel, another gospel, an alternative gospel. A gospel rooted and grounded in racism. But it was a false gospel. As I said, that confession did not come out of the United States. But our Presbyterian church will be receiving it as one of our confessions. Because even though it did not come from our country, it could have been written here. Because we too have a history of promoting and preaching and proclaiming false gospels, perverted gospels, gospels that root the church in systems and traditions and prejudices that have nothing to do with the real gospel, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I often wonder what Paul would say if he wrote a letter to us today. I often wonder if Paul was to survey all the ways that the gospel was being proclaimed today, what Paul would say. If he would say to us the same thing that he said to the church at Galatia, I am astonished at how you Christians in America are turning away from the one true gospel. I'm astonished at how you have turned away from the gospel that I first proclaimed. I'm astonished at how you conflate the word of God with nationalism. I am astonished at how you conflate the word of God with wealth and money. I am astonished that on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, it is the most segregated hour in the country. I am astonished. Paul accuses the false missionaries of sowing confusion and deliberately perverting the gospel. And we know a little bit about confusion today, those who would sow confusion. There are those who would tell us today that salvation comes in building walls and holding in contempt those that we fear or who we disagree with. There are those who would tell us that in order to be saved, that we have to live in the right kind of community or have the right kind of values, American values. There are those who would tell us that in order to be saved, that we have to dress a certain way or drive a certain car, that in order to be saved, we have to have a certain amount of income, that in order to be saved, we have to talk a certain way, we have to have a certain amount of education. In order to be saved, we have to have all of those kinds of things. But Paul reminds us that it is a false gospel. It is a perverted gospel. The only thing that matters is God's love for us. The only thing that matters is the grace that God has extended to each and every one of us. We are saved not because of who we are. We are saved not because of what we do. We are saved not because of what we've been able to obtain. We are saved not because we have all the right credentials. We are saved not because we live in the right kind of neighborhood and rub elbows with the right kinds of people. We are saved not because our families never have any problems and everything is going okay. We are saved because God loves us. Because God loves each and every one of us dearly. God loves us. God has claimed us. God has poured God's grace out on each and every one of us. I like the way Wendy Farley puts it in the commentary, Feasting on the Word. She says that the gospel is the unbearably good news that divine love anticipates us, surrounds us, precedes us. Anything that serves as an obstacle to our awareness of this love is accursed. The nature of the divine is love, and the great conversion of faith is to let this love live in us, to let the love and the grace of God live in us. That's the gospel. That is the gospel that Paul wanted the church in Galatia to remember. And that's the gospel that Paul wants each and every one of us to remember. It's all about God. It's not about us. It's what God has done. It's all about God's love for each and every one of us. Paul tells us, reminds us, that if anyone comes preaching any other kind of gospel, then let that person be cursed. Strong words. But whenever Paul starts to curse, we need to pay attention. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us that it is only because of your grace that we have life. It is only because of your grace that we are here this morning. But how often we believe that we must somehow earn our own way, or try to claim our own way by some merit that we have. If we could just make more money, if we could just move in the right place, if we could just meet the right kind of friends, if we could just associate with the right people, then we can be saved. But you have reminded us that those are false gospels, that your gospel is not rooted in our nation. It is not rooted in our ethnicity. It is not rooted in the color of our skin. It is rooted in your love for each and every one of us. Help us to claim that good news, and help it to live it, us to live it out in all that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.